Okay, good evening. This will be Bez Hashem, the part one of a three-part series. Tonight we'll be discussing the halachos of Esrog. Bez Hashem, as of now, next Thursday night we'll have the schus, we'll discuss the halachos of the Lulav. And then, as of now, on the next Sunday, we'll discuss Hadassim and Aravis and a few other halachos. So, as people approach the Yom Neroim, they approach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a lot of times they don't focus on the halachos of Dal and Minim. They're focusing on other things, they're learning other things as far as Tshuva and Yom Kippur and things like that. And by the time Yom Kippur is finished, before they turn around, they have to build the sukkah, and they don't have time to learn the halachos of the Dal and Minim and to know what is kosher, what's pasul, what's mahudr, what's tam made up. So it's important to know, it's good even in advance to get involved in the halachos of the Dal and Minim just to know what's going on. As a person grows up, a lot of times, if someone who is from birth, so their father chooses out the lulav or esrog, and they don't really know what they're looking for, then as they get older, eventually, you know, again, the job falls upon you, somebody who is new to Yiddishkeit, and then there's so many other halachos to learn, and then they don't get a chance at all to know what's important when it comes to lulav and esrog. So people rely on packaged, and they rely on certain hechsherim, and they buy the hadassim, and there's packaged hadassim. And with my own eyes, I've seen packaged hadassim that are pasul. So that'll be Mitzvah Shambi the third week. But for an esrog, they buy it, says chazunish on it, and they think that it's great. So let's discuss step by step like this. The pasuk in Parashas Emor, Perek of Gimel pasuk Mem, says v'lekachtam lechem b'yom erishon, you should take for yourself on the first day of Sukkot pri eitz hadar. So the first one is the pre-Eitz Hadar, that's the Esrog, so that's what we will start with tonight. So first you need to know what it is and what that it is an Esrog in the first place. You mentioned a moment ago about Murkav. So the identity of an Esrog, it was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to Yeshua and down further and further. It was never a question what the identity of the Esrog was. We always know that it was what we call an Esrog. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Hayamad Aleph discusses how we fit it into the pasuk pri Eitz Hadar, Eitz v'Pir Yeshava, or Hadar Mishana Lashana, certain symbols that fit into the words of pri Eitz Hadar. But the Rambam says that any time the Gemara finds ramazim, certain hints in the pasuk, it doesn't mean that now we know what it means. We knew what it means from before. We're just trying to find an extra hint into the pasuk. And the prime example that the Rambam says is the esrog. We know for a fact what the esrog is, but it's just the Gemara over there just trying to find a hint into the pasuk. We fit it into the pasuk. The Ritva and Sukkah over there in Lamed Hay says similar. So we know that the identity is an esrog. This was all very simple until a few hundred years ago. It came up the concept of what's called an esrog hamurkav, a grafted esrog, meaning it was an esrog grafted on to another citrus tree, and the place can say that that's loy mikri esrog klal. That's not an esrog whatsoever. Now, there's no Gemara about it, and there's no Rishonim about it, because back then they didn't play around with an esrog. Esrog was too important to be played around with. There are certain benefits. Hold on one second. There are certain benefits with a different type of esrog. It could withstand other things when it bumps into it, but the first one that discusses it is the Tshuva HaRama, the famous Rama, who lived in the 1500s, and he says, and everybody else agrees as well, that it's not an esrog. So you need to know what is really an esrog and what is not. The Mishnah Brura in Tafresh Mem Ches of Katan Samachay brings Paiskim that gives simanim, that it's bumpy, then we'll know it's an esrog if it's bumpy. We're not going to get into Lamaisa, the different simanim, because the Mishnah Brura says that the simanim that we have are really not good enough, and the Chasam Sefer says that those simanim are not brought down anywhere, so therefore it's just extra simanim that we have, but we can't really rely on those simanim anyway. The only way we know that it really is considered an esrog is if it has a hechsher. Now, a hechsher does not mean that your esrog is kosher. That just means that your esrog is an esrog. When you see a hechsher on a box, on an esrog, all that means is that this esrog is not a murkav. This esrog is not an esrog murkav. It doesn't have anything to do with the quality of the esrog. It just means the lineage comes from the esrog family. So there's different types. There's the chazanish esrog. That does not mean that the chazanish looked at that esrog. Or it doesn't mean that the chazanish looked at that esrog orchard. What that means is, when an esrog box says chazanish on it, that means that the chazanish at one point in his life he took an esrig and he made a bracha on that esrig, and we can assume that if the Chazon Ish made a bracha on that esrig, he must have known that that esrig was for sure a real esrig. They grabbed it from the Chazon Ish and they ran and they planted an orchard from that esrig. That means that when you have an esrig with the Chazon Ish hechsher, that means that the Chazon Ish made a bracha on the zeda of this esrig at some point. There's the Badatz Hechsher, there's other Hechsherim, there's other ways that the Badatz know that it's really not a Murkav. They have their own ways, there's other Hechsherim, but just very important, when you see a Hechsher on an Esrig, that just means that it's an Esrig. That doesn't necessarily mean that the Esrig itself is Kosher. We're going to discuss other Halachos, what makes something Kosher. Hold on 1 second, I know you're raising your hand, hold on. So you buy from someone that you trust. If you go to Geula or Mei Sharim in Eretz Yisrael, those of you who have the Zchus to be in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos, you'll see Tamid Chachamim walking around the streets and they're shopping for Lulavim, they're shopping for Hadassim and Aravas. They'll never be shopping around for Esregim, Stamze, on the street, of these teenage Israeli boys selling Esregim. They're going to go to a specific Meicher that they know of, that they trust, that they recognize, and that's the way that you know that it has to be a Esreg. Yeah.
Just a couple of hypothetical things.
Very quickly, because...
there was a problem with it. You have Koku Esregim.
Okay. Oh, okay. So Kobe, that was where it came from. Okay, fine. Very good. That's number one, that the Esrig needs to make sure that it's an Esrig. Number two, the size of the Esrig. The Esrig is not allowed to be too small. The Gemara says that, that's Mufurish in the Gemara, Lama Dalet Amud Beis, that it's allowed to be very, very big. You see pictures like that of these Taimanis and different people that they have huge Esregim. It's not very practical if you want to hold it during Hashanis, especially with the Siddur and things like that, but definitely it's kosher even if it's very, very big, right? It's very, okay. But as far as very small, if it's too small, that means that it's not considered a pre. It has to be pre-Eitz Hadar. If it's too small, it's not considered a pre. So the Mishnah Lama Dalet Amud Beis and the Shulchan Aruch Tafesh Mem Ches Sivchav Beis says that the size has to be a kebetza. Has to be the size of an egg. Now you think, okay, an egg, that's pretty small. That's not so hard to do. But the catch is the following. The tzlach is the same person as the Neid Behuda. The tzlach in Psachim, Tav Kuf Tazayin Amud Beis, he says that you need two beitzim. You need the size of two eggs. Because he says a rule that I'm sure some of you have heard of, Niskatsu Habeyim, Niskatsu Habeitzim, and eggs nowadays have been smaller, have become smaller. So we have an egg, but really needs to be the size of two eggs of our eggs. The Chazon Ish says, since Esrig is a mitzvah mideraisa, we should be strict, we should be machmer like this Chazon Ish, like this tzlach, and make sure that is the size of two kebetzim. The Bir Halacha brings this from the Bikur Yaakov as well, so you should try to be machmer. It's not so hard. It's hard to estimate exactly the size of two beitzim, but the Pesukim say it's 100 grams in weight, which is 3.5 ounces. Don't worry about it. Most esregim that you'll find are that. But just a side point, that it's better not to get too close to have it that... to have it too small. Because even if you have a scale that it's exact, but Tosfos in Bava Kamma, Daf Tesama Beis, says that the exact size of one beitza, or when we have two eggs, is not hadar. And there are those that say that maybe that makes it even possible because it has to be pre-Eitz Hadar. That's a machlokes, chayodim, chazanish. But it's definitely not good, it's not hadar to be the exact size. Besides, there's a major shaila if in the middle of Yontif it shrivels up and it started off the correct size. But throughout Yontif it shrivels and it gets smaller than that, there's a machlokes on that. Perhaps that turns into being puzzle. That's a machlokes, so it's best to avoid. You don't have to get a big one, but that's something that, just to keep in mind, should make sure it's a little bit big. That's number two. Number three is the shape or the gidl of the esrog. So over there, there's really no din. It could be whatever you like. It could be straight. It could be curved. The Gemara talks about very rare cases of weird types of shapes. That I don't think we have to worry about practically nowadays. There's a type of esrog that's called with a gartel. You know what that is? That has like goes in on the inside. That's also kosher. It's hard to figure out where the chaytim is exactly. We're going to discuss the chaytim shortly. But technically, an esrog that's the shape of a gartel, that it goes out and then in and then out again, that technically is also kosher. With a pitim or without a pitim? Right? That's the question. So the first part that grows from the esrig is the pitim. If you look on a tree, if you're watching it as it grows, the first part that comes out is a pitim. And the Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, says Natla Pitmasai is pasal. The pitim falls off, so then it's pasal. So the Ramah and the Bir Halacha brings other Achrayim as well, that this is only if the Shaishanta this is only if the pitim itself falls off. Meaning, if you picture an esrog for a moment, has the esrog itself, then there's a little stick that comes up, and then a little crown on top. Right? You know what I'm talking about? That little crown on top. So it's like a mushroom, right? So the little crown, that little head on top, is called the sheishanta, and the stick part, that is what's called the pitim. So the halacha is that if just the sheishanta falls off without any part of the stick, then it's still kosher. That's not a problem. It's only a problem if the pitim, if part of the pitim part, that stick, that also gets chopped off. That is where you run into trouble. All of it or part of it, a discussion amongst the Paiskim, but definitely there are those that say that even if part of it falls off, you shouldn't take such an esrog. So therefore, just to keep in mind, if just the sheishanta falls off, that we paskin it's kosher. The Rama says yesh machmir, but we paskin that if just a little crown falls off, then it is still okay.
The difference between day one and the rest of the day?
We paskin not. It's a big discussion. It's a good question, because if it's an inyan of chaser, which we'll get to shortly, then perhaps it's only the first day. But the Mishnah Berurah comes out that we have to understand that it's not a problem of chaser. It's other problems of hadar and kichatama, and therefore we paskin that pitim is going to be pulsed the entire yontif. Why do we find so many esrogs? You look around in shul and you look around in the stores, you see so many esrogs without a pitim. Where does that come from? So the Rama says in Sif Zayin, Tarfesh Memches Sif Zayin, that if the esrog never had a pitim, then it's okay. If the esrog never had a pitim, then it's okay. Like it's like Rav Esrogim Shem Medinos Elu, like the majority of Esrogim in our countries. Now, what does that mean? I never had a pitim. That's the first part that grows. What it means is that it falls off early enough in the growth process. It fell off early enough. Then it's considered as if it grew without a pitim. Now, the advantage to each one is obvious. The advantage to having a pitim is because then you know it has a pitim. But it's risky, because if you drop it, or one of your kids drop it, so then, and it falls off, so then it becomes puzzle. The advantage of not having a pitim is that if it drops, nothing's going to happen. But you just have to make sure that it really never had a pitim in the first place. Go to somebody you trust. If you look at pictures of Rabbi Yashiv, you know, they always take pictures of the Gedolim during Hashanahs and things like that, and when they're during... at some point during Sukkot, if you look at pictures of Rabbi Yashiv, he always has an esrog with a pitim. And I saw brought that the reason why, he says, is because he's not sure how early is considered early that the pitim fell off, to consider as if it never had a pitim. Fine, so you should do what you feel comfortable doing. Definitely, if you could find one with a pitim, that'll be better. If everything else is being equal, other halachos that we still need to discuss. Although the Mishnah Berurah does say that, how do you know? Maybe you could look at it and you could tell that it never had a pitim, or that it fell off early enough. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Lama Bey says that if the pitim falls off early enough, it'll have some type of guma. A guma is like an indentation, like a nice curve. So that means that like it grew like that. If it was chopped off at a later stage, then it would be like it'll be chopped or broken, and you'd be able to tell. Even if there's no guma, it could be, it's not necessarily puzzle. It could be the meicher, the seller, will tell you that, no, I know for a fact that the entire orchard has, they all fall off, the pitims all fall off early enough, and I promise you, and I know for a fact that it fell off early enough, and even though you don't really recognize a particular guma, it could be, he'll tell you that it's still kosher. Definitely, it would be better to be able to notice some type of guma, some type of nice, even curve. This way, you'll not know for a fact, but definitely one more to rely on, that the pitim fell off early enough.
That's what I've seen, and what I use, it does have a pitim. It's very short. It's like,
it has the sheishanta? It has?
It's so small.
Okay, the size of the sheishanta, the size of the pitim plus sheishanta is not important. That could be even very small. If it has that crown, then you know everything's great. You just have to be careful. But then you know everything's great, for sure. Well, that's what you asked before. Is it only possible the first day? If the pitim falls off, is that, when you asked before, is that only possible the first day? You were really asking, is it a psul of chaser, or is it some other psul? If it's a psul of chaser, then it's only possible the first days. But we don't pass like that. We go with the fact that it's not a psul of chaser, it's a different psul, and that psul goes throughout the entire yantif. That's as far as the pitim. As far as the ukits is what's on the bottom. If you're holding up an esrog straight up, the stem that's on the bottom, that's less negea. All esrogim have that, and it doesn't fall off very often. If it does fall off, the Shulchan Aruch and Sifches says it's still kosher, unless there's a guma in its place. Over here, a guma is bad. Over here, if the ukits falls off and it's some type of a hole inside, then That could be possible. And the Achrenim, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and the Levush, they say it's because of Chasser. If the Uketz falls off and there's some type of indentation inside, so then that's Chasser. Over there, it would only be possible on the first day. The Psul of Chasser, of something missing, is only possible on the first day of Yom Tov, of Sukkot. And for Americans, for Chutz Laretz, also the second day. But that's not so common as far as if the Uketz falls off. But technically, if the Uketz falls off, it's Kasher, unless there's something Chasser, unless there is something missing. What's the most important when you're looking for an esrig, and this is the most important thing we'll discuss tonight, is the spots on the esrig. That is the main issue, the spots on the esrig. Now the spots on the esrig, that is mainly negea on the chaitim. Chaitim literally means a nose. A nose is a chaitim. So the chaitim of an esrig is, I was hoping to be able to get an esrig for tonight just for show and tell, but if you could picture an esrig, when the esrig, we paskin, it's a big machlokes yeshayim what the chaitim is, we paskin that the chaitim is, when you're holding the esrig, when it starts to slant upwards, when it starts to slant inwards, meaning the esrig will go out a little bit, then it has the fattest part, and then when it starts to go upwards, from there and up is the chaitim. From there and up, not the bottom half, but it's not necessarily half, a third, a quarter, has nothing to do with fractions. It could be different, that's not what it depends on. It depends on, we paskin, when it starts edging upwards, inwards, that is what is the chaitim, that's how we paskin, the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Lamed Tes, and it's from Arashi on Lamed Hayim Beis, that's the most visible part of the esrig, that's what the eye catches first, when it starts, the top part, when it's edging in, that's what we paskin is considered the chaitim. The halacha is that one spot on the chaitim makes the esrig puzzle. One spot on the chaitim makes the esrig puzzle, and we need to discuss how big is the spot and what color is the spot. Keep in mind that if the esrig, before we get into more about the spots, sometimes you have an esrig that the esrig is crooked, and we said that that's kosher, but the chaitim could start at a higher point than on the other side of the esrig. Meaning if the esrig is curved, it's crooked, so then where it starts edging inwards will be at two different levels. So Rabbi Yashiv says you should be machmer to go with the lower one. The lower chaitim go all the way around on that edge. Not everyone passes like that. There are those that say that you could rely on the most places can say you can rely on the higher one, whichever one where that chaitim is on that side of the esrig. If you have a crooked esrig, so then you keep that in mind. Try to be machmal like Rabbi Yashiv, but most places can say you could, wherever its chaitim is on that side. But it depends on the color. Number one, it depends on the color of the spot. Only white and black make the esrig puzzle. Now the best is to check by daytime, even a fluorescent light, it can't duplicate the sun. The best is to check by daytime. A lot of times, even if you go at night, many times, I know in Eretz Yisrael, you take an esrig, you come back the next day, they trust you. I don't know exactly how it works here in America. You know, if people trust you, if you know the seller, you tell him, I promise, I'll bring it back tomorrow. I just want to check it by daylight. So he may tell you, okay, leave it here, and you come back tomorrow. But, you know, you see what you can do. But the best is to check it by daylight. So as far as white, there's many shades of white. The Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnayos says, Lovan B'yoyser. And the place can bring that Lashon, Lovan B'yoyser, very white. So to tell it's white, you compare it to something white. It's the advantage of wearing a white shirt. Not to contrast it to the green or the yellow of the esrig, because then a lot of things look white. If you're not sure, you could show it to somebody who has more experience, to a Rav or somebody who has more experience. Rabbi Yashiv says that nowadays the white spots are very, very rare. And not that Rabbi Yashiv needs my approval, but the Maisa from all the esrigim that I've looked at, it's very rare to find a white spot. The main problem is the shachar, what we call the shvarz lepintala, the black spot on the esrig. Now, a lot of times you'll look at an esrig and you'll see a spot and you'll think that it's black. But the truth is that you'll show it to somebody else and they say, no, it's not black, it's brown. Even if it's a good color, it's only, meaning it's not white or it's not black, it's, let's say, brown, which is okay, it's only if it's natural. Only if it's a natural color, then it's okay if it's brown or something like that. But if it's niklaf, if it's peeled, and then it turned brown, so then the Mishnah Berurah says, it's a machlokes, and you should try to be machmir. So again, white is puzzle, black is puzzle, brown is okay. For now, we'll talk about bletels later, a brown spot is okay, but if it's peeled, and that's why it turns brown, then the Mishnah Berurah says you should try to be machmer. There's plenty of esrigim nowadays, you should try and get a different esrig if you see that it was peeled a little bit. So what appealed to me is not that a chunk was taken out from the gufa esrig, but just the peel of the esrig, that does not make it chaser. Agav, when you hold the esrig, you have to be careful. Don't hold it by your fingernails, because then you may peel it, and then you may make it chaser if you dig into it. You may chip something off. It's a chayshe mishpat shayla that you may you're causing a loss of money to the seller, and also somebody may not notice it. That's just, I'm careful. You have to be careful. I've been to esrig stores, and I've been places where I see people holding an esrig, and I'm cringing because I see they're like handling it, and I wouldn't want, you know, I make sure not to touch that esrig after I see the way they're holding it. You have to be careful, how delicate, handle with care as you hold the esrig. Now, so we have black and white that makes a puzzle. What's the size of the spot? This is the most important thing we're going to talk about tonight. How big does the spot have to be to make it puzzle? So the Gemara says in Lamed Hamabez and the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yibbez says kolshehu. A black spot, that's a kolshehu, that's what makes a puzzle. Now, usually kolshehu means a tiny, tiny, tiny spot, right? We know that's expression of kolshehu, means a tiny, tiny bit. But many places can bring the mabit, the Mishnah Berurah brings this, and nobody seems to argue on this, that the mabit has a very big kula. And that's the following, that since a spot makes it possible because of hadar, it's a lack of hadar, pre-ates hadar, it has to be hadar, we pass on the lulav also has to be hadar. But since it's a lack of hadar, and that's why the esrig is puzzle, says the mabit that it needs to be beli histaklus. The only time that this spot is going to puzzle it is if you could see the spot without having to look very, very closely. Okay? So the only time it's going to be puzzle is, the way the Paiskim explain, is if you're able to tell that there's a spot by holding it at arm's length. The way you would normally hold a lulav and esrig, which Rabbi Yashiv says is about a foot away from your eyes, if you hold it a foot away and still you could see the spot, then that's big enough to make it puzzle, if it's black or white. But if you need to look with a magnifying glass, if there's a spot, then it's not puzzle. A lot of times, someone will come with an esrig to a rav and I'll show it to him. He says it's kosher. He says, no, there's a spot. He says, no, there's no spot. You say, no, look right over there. You see, there's a spot. The rav will say, no, but that's behistaklus. That's only if you're looking with a magnifying glass. That does not make it puzzle.
You see the spot. You just want to get a closer look at it.
Oh, so why do we have so many pictures? Even on the sign that they made for tonight's show, there's a picture of someone with a magnifying glass. So basically, you want to know, why do we have magnifying glasses by an esrig store, and you see so many people using a magnifying glass? So there the answer is the following. If you could see the spot without histaklus, without staring at it, you could see the spot, just you can't tell which color it is. So there, with a magnifying glass, if you need to tell if it's black or brown, then with the magnifying glass you could tell it's black, then it's puzzle. You don't have to be able to tell which color it is from a foot away. You just have to be able to make a puzzle. You just have to be able to tell that there is a spot. Once you're able to tell from that length that there is a spot, then even if you need a magnifying glass to see that it's black, that is still puzzle. I would imagine it depends on an Adam Beninus. I see you have glasses, right? If you take off your glasses, I can't see it, right? So they're my, it's my esrig, so for me it's kosher. I doubt, you know, that's the halacha. There are different people of different eyesight, with glasses, without glasses, whatever it is. Some people have 20/20, some people have less, you know, not as good eyesight. Okay, so it could be, right, that's true, and it could be not even, as for sure not as far as eyesight, but it's a part of just, you know, noticing, you know, being, have more experience and noticing it. I would imagine it would be for an Adam Beinonis, if, you know, a standard person. If it's borderline, you know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where there's tons of esregim, you know, try to get something else. The place can say that, let's say there's a bunch of spots near each other, a few spots near each other, and that's why it's recognizable from a foot away. Meaning if it was just each one by itself, it's too small to tell from that far away, from a foot away. But since there's a few of them, so then I'm able to notice it. So Rabbi Vosner and Rabbi Yashiv both say that that's possible. Since Lamaisa, you could notice it, even though each one by itself you can't. But the fact of the matter is that since they're bunched together, therefore they are noticeable, so they say that's already not hadar, and therefore that is possible. A bletel. Now, what's a bletel? A bletel, you all know the expression, a blat gemara. What's a blat? Literally, what does a blat mean? A blat means a leaf. A blat is a leaf. So, what does this mean when we have a bletel on an esrig? It means that when the esrig was ripening, there was a leaf that touched the esrig, and therefore it didn't get its full color on that spot. Meaning there was in midst of ripening, and the leaf was resting on it, maybe got a little bit attached to it or something, and it was resting on it, and while it was ripening, it didn't get its full color. It's not white, it's not black, it's like usually like a beige or a brown. So what's the halacha with these bletels? So the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Beis says that if an esrog has a chazazis, then it's pasul. If it has a chazazis, then it's pasul. So it's not clear what exactly this chazazis is. There are those that say it means like boils, which is very rare, but perhaps this is what it means. Some paiskim say that this is what it means, that it has a leaf was on it while it was ripening, and it has some type of beige or brown color, that, and it's not the regular yellow or the regular green. So what's the halacha with this bletel? So the Ramah says that since many, many have this bletel, and we're not even sure 100% what this chazazis, the translation of chazazis is, so the Ramah says that this bletel that we're talking about now, he says, since many have it, yesh lahachshira, and you could say it's kosher, mitam denechshav mara esrig. That's what it is. That's what an esrig is. An esrig is an esrig with bletel. So many of them have it. So therefore the Ramah says that it's okay.
Is it also on the
entire? This is on the entire esrig. I think this is also a psul of hadar. So if that was a psul of hadar, it would be only on the chaitim as well. You're right. I think if it's a psul, it should be a psul of hadar. If it's a psul of hadar, then it's also what's noticeable first, and then that will be also on the chaitim. Yes. Sorry, we're not finished. You interrupted me. He's my chavrusa, so he's allowed to interrupt me. The Ramah says that you're able to be machshir. The Mishnah Brura over there in Sefkata Nun says that you should be machmir. You should be machmir, because he says the Ramah that said it's kosher was from a Trumas Hadeshen. But says the Mishnah Brura, if you look up the Trumas Hadeshen inside, the Trumas Hadeshen adds at the end v'tzarech iyun. I mean, the Trumas Hadeshen said yesh lahachshiran, but v'tzarech iyun, meaning he's not so sure. So therefore the Mishnah Brura says you should be machmir. It's based on the Shari Tshuva, but Rabbi Yashiv comes after the Mishnah Brura and others, and he says that no, the Ramah that quoted the Trumas Hadeshen and said it's kosher, the Ramah probably saw the Trumas Hadeshen, and he was paskening like the beginning of the Trumas Hadeshen. He wasn't paskening with the Vitzarech Iyan, meaning he saw the Trumas Hadeshen and said it's kosher, but Vitzarech Iyan, but the Ramah chose, he decided to pasken like the kashrus of the Trumas Hadeshen. So, therefore, you find many, many Esregim do have it, and it makes sense. You find plenty of people use an esreg with a bletel, and it makes sense because Lamaisa the Ramah says it's kosher, but after all you do have the Mishnah Brura, so the less the better. And if you see one and you see another one that doesn't have it, and everything else is being equal, it's better not to have the bletel. But you can't say that it's possible. The Ramah Lamaisa paskins that it's okay, and even the Mishnah Brura says yesh lahachmir, but Rabbi Yashiv comes and says that no, you can rely on the Ramah himself. No, so we're saying that it's just on the top, just on the chaitim, the same chaitim, because since it's a psul of hadar, so then that will be on what's noticeable to make it not beautiful.
What's the difference between the bletel and the white and black spots? Just color?
I wish I had an esrog that had spots and bletels and everything that I could show you, but a spot is really just a small circle. A bletel is usually much bigger than that. I mean, when I say much, it's all relative, but it's, you know, it's probably even like it could be even a centimeter big. And it's like a weird, funny shape because the leaf was on it, and the leaf, of course, is not perfectly symmetrical. But it looks almost as if something was peeled at that point. It's hard to tell sometimes if it was peeled and it's just flat on the esrog, or if it's like something on it and it's like it's a bletel, meaning it's even like a rough edge. Meaning the whole esrog will feel a certain way on that spot. It'll feel a little bit different, and it's usually like a beige. That's usually not beige. Usually like a darker than beige, like a brown, and it'll be somewhere on the esrog. That's usually what it looks like a funny shape. Sometimes it's even like the shape of like a miniature esrog. It's like somewhere like something a leaf touched it on that spot, so it couldn't turn the full right. Chaser. We were talking about chaser before. Chaser means that some of the esrog is missing, meaning not the peel, like we said before, but the gufa esrog is chaser kosher, who is missing a little bit. It's dug into, it's bumped into, and this is not only on the chaitim, this is a psul be'etzem, not because of hadar, but it's a chaser, something missing as part of the esrog. The Gemara says clearly that this psul is only on the first day. Rab Chanina, the Gemara says, Rab Chanina took a bite out of his esrog, on the Flam of Avam Abayz, and the Ramah brings it in Sifhei, Tafesh Memtes Sifhei, that on the Rabbanans, therefore it's not a problem. So only on the first day is there a psul of chaser? On the rest of the days of Yantif, we say there is no psul of chaser. Some say lechadchila you shouldn't take it even the rest of Yantif because it's zekei lemaveyu. Fine, if something happens to your esring, you definitely have what to rely on. But chaser is not so common. A green esring. So many times you find people have a green esring, and you go to a store and you see a green esring. What's the halacha with a green esring? The Mishnah on Daf Lama Dalam Bay says that Yara Kekarti is pasul. And it's brought in Sif Chafalef that if it's green like a karti, then the esrog is pasul. So the Gemara, earlier on Lama Dalam Lama Bay, says, why not? Because the Gemara says it's loy gamar pri. The pri is not ripe, it's not considered totally ripe yet if the esrog is still green. So how come you see people have green? So the answer is because you need to have, to be pasul, it needs to be a real green. Like a grass. That's the way the Rosh says on the Shulchan Aruch, that it needs to be real, a dark green. Even so, if it's just like a light green, then it wouldn't be a problem. Even if it is a real green, but the Shulchan Aruch says that if it ends up being yellow before the end of Yantif, then it's kosher, even if it's still green, because we know that that means it's ripe. So again, it's green, if it's a light green, it's not a problem. Even if it is a very dark green, if it's going to become yellow before the end of Yantif, then we say it's kosher. Now, we're not Nevi'im. How do we know that it's going to be before the end of Yantif? So the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Samachay, says that it has to be maschil et sahiv. It has to be starting to become yellow a little bit. It's starting, you could tell it's starting to become yellow a little bit. Then we assume it's ripe because it's on the way to becoming ripe. However, the Shaar Tzion in Oy Samach Tes, he brings the Bach, and the Bach is Machmer. The Bach's opinion is to be Machmer, that not to have a green esrig, because the Bach holds, and there are those that are Machmer like this as well, that a green spot or any green color on the esrig is just like white or black. In the same way the white or black spot passes the esrig, so too a green, the green color passes the esrig. Even if eventually it will become yellow. And the Mishkanes Yaakov, who was the brother of the Keren Orah, he brings many Rishonim, the Ritva, the Rambam, that also bring green as a list in the colors of the bad spots. And many people are choshish for this. Now, really, we don't paskan like this, but it's brought to try to be makbar about it. There's a letter that the Brisker Rav sent to Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, and he sent him, please do me a favor, give me an esrog. But he says, make sure that there's no green, because I'm makbar on the Mishkanes Yaakov, which is already a bach, to be makbar on. Again, technically, it is kosher. I remember one year that I was looking for an esrog, and I found a green esrog that was mamish spotless. There was not one spot on the entire esrog, and I went with that esrog. That's the one I used. Even though, you know, it's good to try to be machmer, but the Mishnah Berurah does not paskin like this Bach. So you have what to rely on, definitely, if that's the best esrog that you find, and it has a pitim, and there's no spots whatsoever, we definitely hold that it is kosher. Practically, the place can bring that you can make the green esrog turn yellow. How do you do that? Anybody know? You bag it? Oh, very good. Right? You put the esrog in a bag or in a shoebox with two apples by the pitim, and you put it there for 2 days, and that'll make it change yellow. Rabbi Asher says it's because of the reyach, and there's other fruits that people do this with. My wife does this with other types of fruits, like to make it become ripe quicker. And the place can say, though, that you have to put it by the pitim, because if you put it by the ukitz, then the ukitz is going to fall off. So that I never tried, and I never saw happen, but they say that you should put it by the pitim specifically. If you put it in a shoebox, you'll be able to maneuver it like that. And And Rabbi Asher says that all esrogim would help if you do that nowadays. So if you have a green esrog and that's the one you decide to buy because it's no spots and you want to make it turn into yellow, so fine, you could try that. But if it doesn't end up working for whatever reason, you definitely have what to rely on. That's still, it's kosher. We have time to end off with the story. It's only 9:35. Have permission to end with the story? I'm a crone. I have to end off with the story. And it went fast, so we have some few more minutes. There was a man by the name of Rabbi Shmuel Rubinstein, and my father remembers him from Tarva Das. My father was with him way back in Tarva Das, and he was famous for he was the first one. He used to put out certain pamphlets on certain specific halachas. Nowadays it's constant, it's standard that you have a whole sefer on one miktsaya, on one subject. but he was really the one who started. He put on pamphlets on tefillin and tzitzis and mezuzah and dalin minim and mikvah. Well, you've seen? Yeah, you knew him? So he was like the originator of such an idea. So when he was young, he lived in the Bronx, and he, you know that? And okay. So and he went to Tarva Das. That's how my father got to know him. Eventually he got rheumatic fever and with the heart and the central nervous system, and he wasn't able, it was too hard for him to travel all the way from the Bronx to Tarva Das. He just wasn't well enough at that age. So the Baba Vareba had a yeshiva in the west side of Manhattan, and this Shmuel Rubinstein, he had somewhat of a Hasidic background, so he figured, instead of, or his parents figured, instead of him traveling all the way to Tarva Das, so he went to the Baba Rebbe's yeshiva, which was close by, so he attended yeshiva over there. He became very, very close to the Baba Rebbe as he was in yeshiva and as he got older. So one time on Cholamoid Sukkis, he was visiting the Rebbe, and he asked, as a lot of the Hasidim do, to, you know, by the Rebbe, he asked to shake the Lulav and Esrog of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe's Esrog had a pitum, and he was so nervous. You know, here he has the schus to shake the Lulav and Esrog of the Rebbe, and he was even more nervous because the Esrog had a pitum. And sure enough, he was trembling, and he dropped the Esrog. And he was mamish petrified. He thought he wanted to bury himself, he wanted to run out of the room right then, and the Esrog rolled away on the floor. And the Rebbe went over, the Baba Rebbe went over, and he picked up the Esrig, and he saw that the Pitim was still intact. The Pitim was fine, nothing happened to the Pitim. So the Baba Rebbe, and he still felt terrible, but the Baba Rebbe went over to him and he said the following. He said, you know, the Medrash says, it's in Vayikra Rabba, Lamed, Yudalid, that the Arba Minim are compared to different parts of the body. The Lulav is compared to the spine because it's long and thin. The Hadas, if you picture the leaves of the Hadas, that looks like the eyes, so that's compared to the eyes. The Arava is the mouth, it's like long like the lips. And the Esrig is the shape, basically the shape of the heart, so it's compared to the heart. And the Mefarshim say that just like Chaser is possible by the Esrig, so Chaser is a psul in someone's lev also, he can't have a Chasar lev, he has to be kind. But each one looks like that. So he told this Shmuel Rubinstein, who had a problem with his heart, with the rheumatic fever, that he says, you see, that this is a siman min hashamayim, that you have a weak heart, and the Esrig fell, but the pitim was still intact. And the pitim stayed intact, so I'm giving you a bracha that this should be a simen min hashamayim, that your heart should be strong, and that you should have a full refuah shlema, and you should be gezunt, and that was that. So, here was an opportunity that he could have made him feel bad, of course, but he didn't. But he was so embarrassed about this that he still didn't tell anybody. 32 years later, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, he was with his family, and he had married, and children, and he told the story to his children. And he said, Lev is begematria 32. And he says, this story happened 32 years ago. And Lev means heart. 32 years later, I'm telling you the story that happened to me 32 years ago. After he told the story to his children, a few weeks later, he passed away and he died. And the bracha of the Rebbe, evidently, seems, min hashamayim, the bracha of the Baba Rebbe lasted for Lev years. And it's just a beautiful story. Stam, the Chazal is a beautiful Chazal, but just an opportunity where you see where somebody could have had the chance to ridicule somebody and scream at him, but Fakir, to use the opportunity to build him up, to give him a bracha, and then the bracha was Mekuyim, and the mitzvah of Esrog Shetaka protect us. And Bez Hashem, next week, Thursday night, same time, same place, may hopefully downstairs, we'll Bez Hashem discuss the halachos of Lulav.